welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt as always. I almost forgot how to say the intro, and it's this thing I say every single time. It is April 16th, the first day of the NBA playoffs, the day before Easter. Matt and I are at our little brother's house watching his dog while he is in St. George, Utah on a golf trip. So if you hear barking, that is why, because we don't have a dog. It's our little brother's.
Yeah, I think he looks like he's asleep right now, so I think we'll be good.
Perfect timing. But yeah, we're literally watching the NBA playoffs right now, so that's what we're going to be talking about today, the NBA playoffs. Also, baseball started last week, so we're going to have Jacob Caldwell on to talk baseball with us. I have a sleeper team in the American League who I think is going to do really well. I'm excited to talk about that with him. Anything else before we get started?
No, I'd say let's get into it, because this game's about to end. We're about to start the next one. So
yeah, let's just go through each matchup in the first round and then go through our finals picks and then anything else we want to talk about. So let's start. Do you want to do the West or the East?
West.
Let's start with the West. And let's start with Utah and Dallas, just because game one has already happened. I know most of the game ones will probably have happened by the time you're listening to this. Utah Jazz beat the Dallas Mavericks in game one. Luka Doncic is hurt with a calf strain, likely hurt in game two. It's one of those things where if it was a regular season injury, I think he'd be out multiple weeks based on other players with similar injuries. But because it's the playoffs, especially if they go down 0-2, I think Luka's going to be playing. If Luka wasn't hurt, I'd be picking Dallas and not even thinking about it. Now I'm leaning Utah, but I'm not 100% there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I feel more confident than Utah. I mean, I know that Dallas has been playing really well and Utah's been playing really poorly. But I don't know. I feel like even with Luka, I feel like the Jazz are the more talented team. I feel like they have more playoff experience, even though they've lost more in the playoffs. Donovan Mitchell always does incredibly well in the playoffs. Today did not look as good as I was hoping, though. Although watching the game, I felt like this is about as good as Dallas is going to play, particularly defensively. And Utah's being off on offense. A lot of that was Dallas' defense, because they, I thought, played a really good defensive game today. But a lot of it was missed shots. We missed several open shots, particularly in the first half. That is statistically unlikely to happen again. So I feel like even with Luka back, I feel like we're going to be making a lot more shots, and that's going to bridge some of that gap.
Yeah, Dallas played a lot through Spencer Dinwiddie today. I was thinking about it. I don't get the point. So Dinwiddie and David Bertans came in from Washington to Dallas in the trade for Kristaps Porzingis. I get why Dallas did it from a salary perspective and also an on-the-floor perspective. I don't get why Washington did that trade. Like, I would rather have Dinwiddie and Bertans than Porzingis.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd rather have maybe Dinwiddie. I know I'm overhyping Dinwiddie, and if healthy, Kristaps is a much better player. But I feel like Dinwiddie's become underrated ever since he's kind of bounced around a few teams.
Yeah, no, I mean, Dinwiddie's really good, but like, if Kristaps is playing as well as Kristaps can, then that's clearly a good trade for the Rockets. So that's what they were, or not for the Wizards, I mean. So that's what they were thinking, you know, whether that was smart and whether Kristaps is actually what we all think he is, I'm not so sure.
But like, look at, and maybe it's just a Dallas specific thing, but like, if they don't have Luka, Jalen Brunson is like running the offense, and Jalen Brunson is a good player. I think better than any of us thought he'd be out of Villanova. But Dinwiddie, I thought, ran it really well in times when Luka's been hurt during the season. They ran the offense through Dinwiddie, and that's really been his most valuable, was when Luka's been hurt. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's just a working out well for Dallas thing, but for Dallas's roster, at least, I think Dinwiddie, especially if you're getting Bertans, is much more valuable than Kristaps.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I do think they needed another good ball handler or someone else to run the offense through. Not just for backup purposes. I just think it's good to have multiple ball handlers on the floor at the same time. That's what the Jazz were running into before we got Mike Conley, where Donovan Mitchell had to be the point guard, and we struggled for so long trying to find someone. To just be able to have Mitchell and Conley on the floor, and then occasionally let Joe Ingles handle the ball. That really opened up the offense and let us be the number one offense in the league.
I think you were optimistic after the game. I was nervous as a Jazz fan that I think Dallas is deep. I think Josh Green missed. I liked him coming out of Arizona. He missed a, like four or five open threes. Didn't win. He missed a lot of free throws. I think the Jazz kind of got not lucky, but I'd say escaped with game one, which they need to have if Luka wasn't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So I think – I guess it kind of depends on Luka's health completely. But if – let's say Luka comes back after game two. So they play one more game without him, and then he comes back for game three. What would you predict happens in the series?
Well, I'm going to say Dallas wins one game whether or not Doncic comes back. So if he doesn't come back, I'm going to say Utah wins in five. And then I'm still going to say Utah wins if Doncic comes back really at any point. And I kind of even don't care when he comes back. But I'm probably – I would say game six. Just because I feel like Utah really did have a lousy game. Mitchell had 2 points in the first half. So I think even with Doncic coming back, I think Utah's going to play better there. I would say six if Doncic comes back at all, and five if he does not.
Mitchell did play really well in the second half. It's just watching him, he's so long. Like, it'd be so fun to have a wingspan like that.
Yeah.
So I'm higher on Luka and Dinwiddie and lower on the Jazz. You're kind of the opposite. I think, assuming Luka comes back in game two, I think Dallas can win or six or seven. If it's longer than game two, I think the Jazz would win. I do think it'd be at least a six-game series either way, though, even without Luka for a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be close. The Jazz is just inconsistencies the back half of the season have really, really dampened my spirits.
Yeah, and I mean, certainly the way they played today is like the way they were playing at the beginning of the season, I was like, they have a good shot to beat Phoenix, get to the NBA Finals. You know, the way they play today, you know, that team cannot get out of the second round, you know, regardless of who they play, I think.
Yeah. Okay, so you're going Utah, I'm going Dallas, really no matter what happens with Luka.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay. I do think Utah, if Luka misses more than one other game, I think it'll be close, but I think Utah can win. Let's just talk about the other game that just finished, just because that happened. That was Memphis and Minnesota. Minnesota just beat Memphis. Minnesota's the 7 seed. Memphis bumped up to the 2 seed. They were kind of in, like, the 3 spot for a while, and Utah was trying to catch them in the 4 seed. Then Utah dropped to 5. Dallas bumped up to 4. Memphis went to 2 ahead of Golden State. I thought it was going to be Golden State finishing as a 2 seed, but good for Memphis. They just lost game 1 to Minnesota. Last year in the playoffs, Memphis won game 1 as an underdog at Utah and then lost the next 4. So I'm not too worried about Memphis. Minnesota did play really well, though, today. And in the playoff game against the Clippers.
Yeah, I think people weren't really even looking at this series and thinking about what happens with Minnesota or the Clippers or whoever gets in. But playoff experience matters. Like, I still think the Grizzlies are going to win. But, you know, Patrick Beverley has, you know, been quite far in the playoffs. Karl-Anthony Towns, I know he hasn't really had any playoff success, but he's been in multiple playoffs. He's been in the league for several years now. D'Angelo Russell has been in the NBA for a really long time. He's got that experience. And really nobody, the only experience I feel like anybody on the Clippers or on the Grizzlies has besides Steven Adams is just that one series against Utah last year where it was I can't remember if the Jazz won in 4 games or 5 games, but yeah, so I think we saw that today, but I don't know. I still think the Grizzlies are going to win, and I'm not really concerned about that.
Yeah, I don't know how much there is to say other than good for Minnesota. They played well in the play-in game and played well today. Anthony Edwards is fun to watch, but yeah, I don't think Memphis is going to really have a problem. I wouldn't be surprised if they win the next 4. I wouldn't be surprised if they win in 6, but I think Memphis is going to coast.
Yeah. I'm going to pick them to win in 6. Minnesota. I don't know why I couldn't think of that. I think Minnesota is going to win at least one game at home. So I think they end up winning in six. Could be seven. I wouldn't be surprised if it's seven, but I'm going to say six.
Yeah, I think that's one of the less intriguing matchups. Let's go to maybe, at least in the West, for me, the most intriguing one, which is Denver and Golden State. I think the big question mark is just health with Golden State, because if they have Steph, Draymond, and Klay Thompson all healthy, all at 100%, then I think Golden State is maybe even the favorite over Phoenix. If Steph's not 100% Steph, then I like Denver a lot. But also, I don't know, because I don't know. I think, like, at their peaks, both these teams can be as good as anyone in the West, but I think neither of them are at their peaks right now.
No, yeah, neither. Well, we forget because it's been so long, but, like, Jamal Murray is not on the Nuggets, right? And so when he comes back, what we've got to assume is going to be next year. They are going to be so, so good. But, yeah, you're right. They're not at full health because of that. I think Michael Porter is also out at this point. So, yeah, but, I mean, Jokic is so good that I feel like he's almost going to win two games pretty much just by himself.
Yeah, Jokic is good. He's, like, not a typical good because he's not only a center, but he's, like, a center guard, like a point center. You know what I mean? Like, he plays different than maybe anyone else ever in NBA history. Maybe that's an exaggeration, but I just feel like he's so unique. He does so much for Denver. But also just not trying to overcomplicate it, Steph Curry's very good. So if he's healthy, I think Golden State wins. If he's not 100%, then I think it's a very close series, and I think Denver's a really good team. Denver with Jokic and Jamal Murray are very scary, though. So it sucks for Denver that Murray's been hurt so much because he's one of my favorite – he might be my favorite non-Utah Jazz player to, like, watch. If I was picking a random player, it might be Jamal Murray I want to watch.
Yeah, if they have Jamal Murray and Jokic and Michael Porter all at the same time, that's a really, really hard team to beat.
Yeah, and they've done – I feel like they have done a good job of building that roster, but with Murray hurt, there's – like, Jokic has carried them a lot and is – I mean, not surprisingly, but there's only so much they can do. So, sounds like we're both picking Golden State.
I'm a little bit worried about Curry. I think this is definitely going to go to seven games. This is the hardest time that I've got. But I think I'm going to pick Denver, just because, like, when I say Jokic can win two games by himself, I still think there's other games that they can win as a team. I think they can get two more out. So I think I'm just going to pick Denver in seven.
All right, I'm going to go Golden State in six. Interesting. That's the one I'm most excited about watching, and that's later tonight. And again, I know most people listening to this will all be over by the time you're listening to it, at least like game ones. But I love the first day of the NBA playoffs, like the first weekend of the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Let's finish out the West and then go to the East. Phoenix, New Orleans. New Orleans did a great job in the play-in tournament, both against San Antonio and Clippers. Yeah, that was who it was. The Clippers had to beat. The Clippers lost twice. That sucks for them.
Yeah.
That was a bummer. I do like McCollum and Ingram. I haven't watched too much of the Pelicans since they left, so this was kind of the first like major exposure I got to McCollum and Brandon Ingram on the same team. I thought it was a good lineup.
Yeah.
It was interesting. I don't think they're going to do anything against Phoenix, but...
Yeah, I think this is really the only series that I'm going to pick as a sweep. It's just Phoenix is just so far ahead of everybody in the Western Conference, really.
Yeah, I was going to say this is the most likely I see to be a sweep as well. Just Phoenix, they're so deep. Devin Booker is so talented. They got Cam Johnson, Mikal Bridges, like a ton of wing depth. DeAndre Ayton, as much as they should have picked Luka, DeAndre Ayton is still a very good player and does a lot for that offense. Chris Paul, I like more than I think everyone else in the country as a person. So Phoenix sweep, no drama there?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's go to the East. There are some intriguing matchups in the East. So right now we're watching game one of Toronto and Philadelphia. Should we just talk about that while we're watching it?
Yeah.
So that's a 4-5 matchup. I think a lot of people thought Philadelphia, and they obviously still can, go to the finals with Harden and Embiid. They're another team with depth. Matisse Thybulle is one of the best defensive players in the league. Tobias Harris, I almost blanked on his name. He's a really good – if he's your third option, that's a really good third option. I love Toronto, though. Fred VanVleet when he came out of Wichita State, Ron Baker was – well, neither of them were, like, huge NBA prospects, but I thought Baker was a little bit more. And Fred VanVleet made the team and just kept grinding. He was an all-star this year. Pascal Siakam is obviously an awesome player. Scottie Barnes has had a great rookie year. They just have so much length and height and depth. I'd like to see Toronto win. I think Philadelphia is going to win, and Philly might be the most quote-unquote talented team, but it'd be fun to see Toronto win, just like the way they've rebuilt the roster after Kawhi left.
Yeah, it's – see, I almost kind of want the Sixers to win. I think at some point I would just love to see the Sixers play the Nets, and I don't think the Sixers are going to be able to get far enough to do that. I just think that would be very, very fun. I think that is a playoff matchup that we all deserve.
Yeah, I don't know if the Sixers or the Nets get far enough to do that, unfortunately, because it'd have to be in the conference finals. But yeah. You're right, that would be – it'd be nice if Ben Simmons decided to play basketball ever.
Yeah, it's and I do – yeah, I feel bad for Ben. I know he's not the most likable person in the world, but I feel like the hatred that has been thrown towards him has been disproportionate to – anything that he's done, even though I'm not a fan of his personally.
He hasn't done much. I'm not on board. I'm on board with the – not all of it, but a lot of it.
Yeah. But I do – I actually think I am going to pick Toronto for a lot of the reasons that you said. Also, it's, I think, important that not everybody on the Sixers is fully vaccinated, meaning that they're not going to be able to play those games in Toronto. So I'm pretty sure it's Maxey. It could be – Thibault. Let me look it up because I don't want to.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I believe it's. Yep, this is our favorite podcast content: is wait while we look things up.
Yeah, I do. You're kind of talking me into picking Toronto, and when I said rebuild, I shouldn't say they rebuilt the roster because it's a lot of the same, but I restructured it. Like losing a top five player, Finals MVP. And still being a contending team, and even though they're not maybe the top of the East, they're still like a very good team. Mm-hmm. I think it's impressive what they've done.
Yeah, it was Thibault. I was wrong, so I'm glad that I looked it up.
Mm.
And he being the best defender, I think that makes that helps Toronto a ton to win those home games. And I feel like this is a team that's capable enough to get one of those games in Philadelphia, particularly with how inconsistent James Harden's been playing. Because I feel like he's going to have a few games that are good. And what I do think is not going to happen to James Harden is I feel like in all those other playoff series, he ran out of gas because he had to do everything. And here, he's not going to run out of gas because he has to do everything. I think he's going to run out of gas because he's out of shape.
He's so out of shape. Like, our mom saw him walking in and she was like, is that guy like... an assistant coach or who is that guy? Like, she didn't think he'd be an NBA player.
Yeah, well, and he's always, you know, his physique has never like screamed like I'm super in shape, and that like that's not necessarily the only indicator, but like just watching him on the floor, like you can tell he just doesn't have it like he did when he was on the Rockets.
Seems heavy. Like, it just seems like heavy.
Yeah.
Legs
kinda. I mean, yeah,
I don't mean like overweight heavy. I mean, right. Like it's like, you know, like that feeling when you're tired and you're like, feel like you're dragging your feet.
Yes.
It's like, it feels like that right. A lot of the time.
Yeah. So for that reason, I mean, I think he's going to have one or two really great games, and I think he's going to have one or two like quite bad games. And I think that the Raptors are going to end up winning those.
Okay. Yeah. You talked me into it. I'm picking the Raptors. Okay. One quick note before we move on. And also, obviously you can say anything. I think Philadelphia does a great job with, like, the logo and court design and their jerseys. They got, like, the Don't Tread on Me snake on the court that we're just watching. Their like, warm-up t-shirts have the Liberty Bell and the snake on it. The Philadelphia on the court is in cursive. Like, it looks like a signing of the Declaration of Independence. I think they do a great job, like, leaning into it.
I guess. And, like, this makes – I know this makes more sense for the Sixers, but I just feel like – Allen Iverson is more important to the Sixers than actually the mascot and the logo is, and I think they should just be trying to lean in more to the Allen Iverson years.
Those were cool jerseys. I think they should 100% use those as throwbacks.
Right. Because I just feel like, yeah, people connect more with Allen Iverson than they're connecting with any of this other stuff, even though I think these are actually a lot better looking jerseys.
They are. It's crazy how like it's 100% a different jersey. It's not even like a different style or anything like that.
Right.
I don't love the Fila instead of just Philadelphia or Sixers or whatever.
Yeah.
but I can.
It's hard. Philadelphia is a long word.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean Phil is a good solution, but.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. You don't want to have the number Sixers, like 76, and the word Sixers on it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I mean, even like just a court design, like they have the 13 stars on there for the colonies, like on that first American flag.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. The jerseys aren't the best part of it for sure. Let's get the Miami Atlanta series out of the way.
Okay.
Cause that's the same thing. I'm high on Miami than I think most people I've listened to in the media are. We all love Jimmy Butler. Who doesn't? Tyler Hero is the highest scoring average for a six man. Sorry, I have the hiccups. Duncan Robinson's obviously a sharp shooter. Kyle Lowry, I think, has been a huge part of that offense and of the team. I think they're deep. Eric Spoelstra, I would say, is the best coach in the NBA. And Atlanta, good for. I'm kind of just surprised they didn't do as well because they got obviously Trae Young's. Just in the season, Trae Young is Trae Young. I thought the Bogdanovich pick up, like, he's been really good for them. I thought Kevin Herter is a good player. I'm surprised they didn't do better than having to play their way into the 8th seed. Mm-hmm. But I think Miami wins in 5.
Yeah, I mean, because Atlanta, this season's been different. Last year they were a 4 or 5 seed when they beat the Knicks, and then the Sixers went to the conference finals. So this year obviously hasn't been as good. Trae Young is going to win at least one game. I'm going to say Miami wins in 6.
Yeah, that's one of the things. Like, I really, the one other than the 1-8 matchup, and I guess the Memphis-Minnesota, I don't see a lot of intrigue in every other series. I think it could go either way for a lot of reasons. But Miami-Atlanta and then Phoenix-New Orleans and the Memphis series, I don't see it being particularly close.
No.
Let's go to... Let's do Brooklyn-Boston right now, just for fun.
Let's do it.
Boston's actually the favorite, like the slight favorite, but to win the series.
Interesting.
I thought Brooklyn would be, if not for nothing else other than people would be more likely to bet on Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
Right.
So that surprised me. Kevin Durant is obviously a very good playoff score. He's like, I think, second or third all time in like scoring average in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Last year with Kyrie Irving hurt, with James Harden hurt, he basically won, like, every game they won was because of Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like those when LeBron was in Miami and those like series against the Heat where LeBron, or not against the Heat, against the Celtics, where LeBron just carried Miami. That was almost what it was like with Kevin Durant last year, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to pick Brooklyn and feel dumb about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, obviously they have Kevin Durant. They've got Kyrie Irving, which, by the way, if we can't see Kyrie in Philly and Ben Simmons in Philly, I think that Kyrie in Boston is going to be a really great thing to see. But yeah, I know they've got the more talent. It's just their defense is still really, really bad.
Yeah.
And Boston has Jason Tatum, and they have Jaylen Brown. And I feel like they can at most guard one of those guys at a time, and they can't guard both.
Yeah, I wonder who's going to guard, like, if Jaylen Brown will be on Kevin Durant most of the time, or if they'll have, like, I know Marcus Smart is way shorter than, like, almost a foot shorter than Kevin Durant, but I wonder if he sees a little time on him.
Yeah.
What they're going to do, like, guarding, because Kevin Durant is obviously a bigger priority than Kyrie Irving, as good as Kyrie Irving is.
Yeah, I almost wonder if they do that thing. You know how sometimes football team players or football teams will take their best cornerback and not put them on the best receiver, but they take the cornerback, put them on the second best receiver, and then they double whoever the first best receiver is?
Yeah.
I kind of wonder if they just say to Marcus Smart, go guard Kyrie the entire game and annoy him as much as you can, and then they try to do, you know, combinations with Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And I think there's a chance Robert Williams could get back towards the end of this series. You know, obviously you don't necessarily want to send her, but he can be doing a little bit of stuff on Kevin Durant. And
help at least.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the Celtics, because of Marcus Smart and they can put him on Kyrie Irving, I think they match up better defensively with the Nets than most teams do, just in the sense that nobody has anybody who's going to defend Kevin Durant. So it kind of doesn't matter.
Yeah, my thing with Brooklyn is I think they're in a vacuum probably the most talented team in a vacuum can win any series. Just having to win a play-in game, which I know wasn't like a crazy thing against Cleveland, but then win three road series, I just think that it's overcoming a lot. Even though, like, they can very easily beat Boston, they can not very easily beat Milwaukee, but they can beat Milwaukee, they can beat Philadelphia, they can beat Toronto. Just doing three of those in a row on the road is where I have an issue. We can talk more about that when we get to kind of we're talking about the finals. I think Brooklyn is going to win this series. I think it'll be in seven games, but I just think Kevin Durant's going to not let him lose.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Boston in seven. I'm curious to see when Ben Simmons back. If he comes up in the first round, I think that could kind of be a problem for the Celtics. I think having him defensively on either Tatum or Brown would really disrupt what they're trying to do. So I'm going to say Celtics in seven, but I'm not – this is the one that I'm least confident about of all the series.
This is probably a close number two with Golden State and Denver for, like, series I'm most interested to watch because it is a little bit of a rivalry. Two of the best teams in the East. I think there's a lot going on. Let's do Milwaukee-Chicago and then kind of talk about everything. The reason I want to do this one last is because I think Milwaukee, and this is, I guess, segueing to the finals, I think Milwaukee's going to go to the finals. I think Chicago has done an interesting job. Like, I think in the offseason when they signed DeRozan, last year when they traded for Vucevic, I wasn't really on board with any of those things, and I love DeMar DeRozan, but he's been incredible. This is, I would say, his best career, like, best year, one of his best years at least. The team's been, like, really good, and I know they kind of didn't finish as hot as they started, but I'm impressed by, like, how Chicago structured their roster, what they did all in the offseason. I just don't see them beating Milwaukee, and, like, I think it'll be a sweep or maybe a fifth game.
Yeah, no, I don't see the guy who's going to stop Giannis on offense, and I don't see the guy who's going to get past Giannis when Giannis is playing defense.
Yeah.
It's kind of my thing, so.
Because, yeah, when Chicago's on offense, they can have either Giannis or Chris Middleton guard DeMar DeRozan. And then, obviously, Levine's a threat. Like, they have other weapons, but, like, I feel like if you can take DeRozan out of it, that does take a lot of your offense out. And Milwaukee has so many wing pieces in depth. It's kind of, like, just a better version of Toronto, plus, like, Giannis is a better version of Siakam, and the Milwaukee's players are better than Toronto's players, but that same idea of we're just going to throw wings and length at you, and you're not going to be able to, like, suffocate you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess this one isn't very intriguing. Even though I'm intrigued to watch it because they're in the same division. I don't know if it's, like, a heated rivalry, but same division, there's a lot of familiarity with the team. Milwaukee and Chicago are very close to each other. They might even be able to just take the bus. It's probably, like, less than an hour flight to those cities, honestly.
Right.
But yeah, I don't see anyone beating. I don't see Chicago beating Milwaukee. I don't, and we can transit unless we want to talk more about the series. But just going to the finals, I don't see how anyone would beat Milwaukee in the East. And I don't want to pick a Milwaukee Phoenix finals, but I really don't see something else happening.
No, I think that's definitely the most likely thing. I think the thing that could stop it is if Robert Williams comes back. I think that makes the Celtics a very different team and a very, very dangerous thing because of everything that he can do for them. So, I'm not confident enough that even if he comes back, that he's going to be in playoff shape quick enough to do the things that they need him to do to guard Giannis in the ways that they would want him to. So I am going to pick Milwaukee, although I would say I think Boston has a better route to beating them than anybody else.
Yeah. I will say in the East, 1 through 5, Miami, Boston, Milwaukee, Philly, or Toronto, I wouldn't be shocked if any of those made the finals. Toronto, I'd be like, oh, this is a kind of a crazy run.
Yeah.
But like Philly, super talented. You just talked about Boston, and especially Tatum and Brown. They're such good players. Brooklyn's the most talented team. I talked about why I don't think they'll do like three road series in a row. And then, obviously, Milwaukee's the defending champs. They have Giannis and the whole team. So I think the East is deep, and I'm more excited about the Eastern Conference playoffs than the Western. Well, the Western ones, I just don't see anyone beat. The only team I could see beating Phoenix is Golden State if Steph and them are healthy, and I think that'd be a very good series. But I think Phoenix is so good.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think Memphis is too inexperienced. You know, not their fault. They're just really young, but they're gonna get older, and they're gonna be very very dangerous. So yeah, if Golden State can hit it the right way, they can beat it. Otherwise, I think it's Phoenix. I will say, when you said anybody 1 through 5 in the East could get through, I would be shocked if Philadelphia gets through. That would surprise me very, very much.
So I'm higher on Philly than you.
Yeah.
Okay. Even with Embiid, you don't think they have a shot?
No. With Embiid and Harden, then absolutely. But I just don't think that this version of Harden is the version of Harden that gets them anywhere. So I don't think that.
So I think Embiid's good enough with Tobias Harris and Thybul, and Maxey's been playing well. I think they're good enough where Embiid can carry them in a series. Not like Durant, but
right.
I think they have an outside shot.
Yeah, but like last year they lost to Atlanta, and
that was embarrassing. That was kind of a Ben Simmons thing, though, wasn't it?
Kind of, but like when we say the Ben Simmons can carry, like he couldn't like carry pass, But, like, theoretically, Ben Simmons should have at least been able to slow down Trae Young. And, well, again, that's coming back to Ben Simmons, but...
Yeah, theoretically, Simmons should have been able to make a layup, but...
Right.
You know.
Yes, yeah, so, I mean, I know there were a lot of key moments that we can say, like, oh, that's Ben Simmons, but, like, I don't... Like, a series is never those, like, 2 or 3 plays, and I know that there were whole, like, fourth quarters where Ben Simmons was playing bad, but, like, they haven't... I'm saying I don't think James Harden is a good enough replacement for Ben Simmons and Seth Curry to be able to do what they need to do.
I forgot Seth Curry's in Brooklyn.
Yeah. Like, and he, I think he was important for the Sixers. Like, that loss didn't mean nothing, you know?
Yeah. If Brooklyn was like a 3 seed, like, or even like not a road series every single time, I would be picking Brooklyn. I just think it'd be hard to win 3 road series. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to pick Brooklyn, but I just can't bring myself to do it. So I'm going to pick Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Who do you think will win? So we both think it's going to be a rematch. I feel like that's not going to happen because it never happens. But I don't see how it wouldn't be a rematch of last year.
I mean, it happened a lot when LeBron was in Miami and then in Cleveland.
I guess that's true. Yeah. So. I thought the Cavs-Warriors series were very entertaining. And I thought it was cool to see, like, a rivalry in the finals. I know people wanted to see something different. I think it's fun seeing people different, but I also liked seeing Clemson and Alabama play each other over and over again with the familiarity breeding contempt, you know? Yeah,
I think it's fun. I was a lot less interested once Kevin Durant joined the Warriors, but...
That's fair.
You know, those first two years, I loved seeing Cleveland and Golden State over and over again. I thought that was great.
And we've said this multiple times, but the 2015 series where... Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving got hurt, and LeBron led both teams in every category was the most impressive thing I've like ever seen in my life.
Right.
I think Phoenix is going to beat Milwaukee and win the NBA championship.
You know, unfortunately, for the purposes of the podcast, I agree with you. I think, you know, that they have been the only team that has been good the entire year. Like, Milwaukee has not been good. I mean, they've been good-ish the entire year, but they haven't been dominant. They've had dips. Like, Phoenix hasn't really had a dip the entire year. And top 5 in offense and defense. I just think they have enough pieces where they're going to be able to do it. They almost did it. They were up 2 games last year, so they clearly can do it.
Yeah. Since the bubble, they've been on such a tear. Like, undefeated in the bubble, winning the West last year, and then first place in the NBA this season. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to win. I think Phoenix is going to win. Yeah, so that was the NBA. We'll see what happens. Again, I love the NBA playoffs as much as any other playoffs in any sport. Right now, we're going to talk to Jacob about baseball. All right, welcome back to Double Take with Matt and Jake. We're joined by Jacob Caldwell, our baseball guy. And it sounds like we're going to have a fun time talking about baseball. We're a week into it, but... Baseball's so long, a week into it, it's basically the start of the season still.
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me on again. It's always good to come on to the show and be 100% wrong like I was with the playoffs last year, but I appreciate the opportunity to come back again and talk some baseball with you guys. It's been a long wait through that lockout.
Yeah, that was when we were talking about it, was the lockout.
Oh, yeah. Before the show, we were trying to remember. I was telling Jake, I feel like we've talked about baseball recently, but we couldn't remember when, and so it must have been for the lockout, yeah.
That was so stupid. I'm glad they're getting all 162 in, but that was so dumb.
Yeah, I'm glad they're getting it in, too. It was definitely a scare for a while, and I don't know. I kind of wonder how much further they were going to let it go before they didn't do the full 162. I just can't imagine it. Like, in both minds of the Players Association and the owners, I think that they had every intent of playing 162, and they're just trying to squeeze whatever they could out of the other side.
Well, I'm glad it's back. It messed up my travel schedule. I was going to be there for spring training in Arizona because I haven't been back since I moved, so I'm going to have to go down for Memorial Day.
Yeah, that was disappointing. I moved, as you guys know, to Florida in the last couple months, and I was excited to have my first spring training near the Yankees, and I only got to make it to one game.
Yeah, because it's only like a week, right? Like spring training?
I think so. It might have been 2 full weeks exactly. I think the last day of spring training, at least for the Yankees, was exactly 2 weeks after I went, which was their first home game. So it was very, very brief.
Yeah, one of my dream vacations is to go out to Florida in spring training because, like, it's a lot of it's in, like, Central Florida. Like, the Yankees are in Tampa. The Braves actually play at Disney World, which I think is pretty cool. So
that is cool. Oh,
yeah. I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah, they play the Wide World of Sport, or at least they did like 3 years ago. If they moved, don't get mad at me, Braves fan. But for a long time, and I'm 99% sure it's still there, they do it at the Wide World of Sports in Disney World.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so in Florida, it's like the spring training is a lot more spread out. Because in Arizona, like I know, like I don't know, because I did not live there like Jake did. But to me, like everything in my head is Phoenix. Like Gilbert is Phoenix, Scottsdale is Phoenix. So I was like, oh, these places are all in Phoenix.
Yeah, Matt, you're exactly right. I was literally just about to say that. As in Florida, you can drive like multiple hours to get to the next spring training game. But in Arizona, like everything feels like it's part of the Phoenix metro area. So they all just cram it in, which is kind of cool too. Like those stadiums are like 15 minutes apart in some cases.
Yeah.
Yeah, the furthest one is like the Goodyear Peoria, like the Mariners and the Royals, I think, are out there. Even that's not very far at all out in Arizona.
Yeah.
I just looked it up. Braves moved in 2019 from Disney to their own in Sarasota. So RIP to that, but still cool.
Yeah, cool while it lasted.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's talk. Do you want to start or end with the AL East and the Yankees, my man?
Oh, man. I don't know. We can go ahead and start with it.
Get it over with?
Yeah. So I'll let you go first, Jake. What do you have for your AL East predictions?
So I have the Rays winning. I actually had the Yankees in the World Series along with the Blue Jays, but as wild cards, the Yankees one was kind of, I didn't want to come on and have you get mad at me for not picking them right in the playoffs.
I appreciate that.
I flip-flopped between the Blue Jays and the Rays, really, and I just went with the Rays because I've seen them do it for so long.
Yeah. They always find a way to win, man. That's like one of the things that I've really envied of the Rays organization is they don't ever seem to have the most flashy lineup. Their pitching has been pretty solid. They've had some big names that have came and went in the last few years, but they've never had like guys in the lineup like your Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, just like terrifying lineup. But they always find a way to win, and they've been driving me absolutely crazy. So. Yeah, I think I've got them going back to the playoffs, but I actually have the Blue Jays winning. I think the Blue Jays, and after the Yankees played them last weekend, so I got to witness their lineup firsthand. It's terrifying. Vladdy is just ridiculous. He hit 3 home runs off Gerrit Cole, which is, like, ridiculous. I mean, Gerrit Cole gives up home runs, but 3-1 guy is pretty crazy for your ace to do. So I've got the Blue Jays winning. The AL East is interesting, though, and that's what I want to spend some time on this division is because, realistically, there's 4 teams that could go to the playoffs from here between we already talked about the Blue Jays and the Rays, but also the Red Sox and Yankees. I'll go ahead and give you the spoiler now. I have the Yankees missing the playoffs.
Okay.
So I would not have been offended. They did nothing in the offseason to make themselves better. They added older people when they needed to get more athletic. They didn't really add pitching, which honestly, pitching so far has been their strong suit. But they just lost. I mean, I may be slightly biased coming off a lost series to the Orioles this weekend, but they scored in 25 out of 29 innings that were played, or they were left scoreless, sorry, in 26 out of 29 innings this weekend against the Orioles, who are the only team in the division that have no shot of making the playoffs. So I know it's early and I'm a little biased, but man, this team has been the same team for the last 3 years, and I'm officially out on the Yankees right now.
Do you think they should have gone in on one of the big shortstops, either Seager or Carlos Correa or something like that, instead of what they did this offseason?
I don't know if it's that. When the offseason was going on, the short free agency that we did get to have thanks to the lockout, I wanted them to pick up one of those guys. But as I'm thinking about it, like, I honestly at this point would have just, if they were going to stick with their prospects, which for the love of God, I hope that Anthony Volpe is exactly who they think he is, like better than the next Jeter kind of situation. But the kid's going to have some pretty hefty shoes to fill. But I just don't get why they made the trades that they made, sending Gio Urshela and Gary Sanchez out, because I just truly don't really think Josh Donaldson was really good at one point. He's still decent, but he's aging quite a bit. I don't think that he's necessarily better than Gio Urshela. And then really our catcher situation is a disaster right now. Leaving the Blue Jays series this week, granted it's early, but Kyle Higashioka was hitting like .059 or something like that. And then Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, who they are using as their stopgap shortstop, was also hitting under 100. So it's just like, I don't think they really did anything with those trades. So all I can say is I really hope that these guys that they're waiting on and passing up on Correa for are worth it.
The Donaldson one was the most interesting, for to put it nicely, interesting signing. It just didn't make sense to me with the lineup. I love Gary Sanchez, so I was bummed you got rid of him. I didn't know what to put about Boston. Like, obviously, I think Trevor Story is a good player. But I didn't feel like they did anything other than Story that really got me going, where, like, the Blue Jays really ramped up their roster. The Rays have Wander Franco, like, plus, like you said, they literally consistently win all the time. I think any of those four teams could make it, but I wasn't super high on Boston just because I didn't feel like they did too much.
Yeah, they really didn't. And the Story thing was a nice kind of addition at the end, right at the end of free agency there, but Boston's another just winning organization, kind of like the Rays right now. And I just think that they find ways to win with the pieces that they have. And the other thing, and I don't know if this is a hot take or not, but and this is a reason too why I think the Yankees can still make the playoffs despite all the issues I see with them, is I think the American League is pretty weak this year, to be honest with you. Like, outside of the AL East, you've got the White Sox, who are, I think, pretty clear-cut favorites in the Central. The Astros should be pretty clear-cut favorites in the West. But after that, like, maybe the Twins show up and do something. People talked about maybe Detroit being decent this year. The Angels, I guess, have a shot. But there's not, outside of the AL East, there's not like a, like, I just don't honestly see any AL team winning 100 games this year. I really don't. So that's why I kind of think it's anybody's game. And they added that extra playoff spot this year for each side. So you might see a team like Boston get in.
Yeah, I'm interested to see, like, what the record is of that last wild card team. It was going to be, like, 80 games that they won or something like that. Because in the NBA, the New Orleans Pelicans made it. They got 36 regular season wins. Like, I wonder if something like that's going to happen with baseball.
Yeah, you could definitely see that happening. And speaking of the Pelicans, I'll slide in my Go Suns. But yeah, you very well could. And that's one of the things with the lockout that I'm so happy that they at least knocked it down as much as possible, is the owners wanted to have, what was it? Was it 16 teams total in the playoffs?
It was like half the league.
Yeah. And they already adding one more spot feels pretty generous, I think, because like we're talking about, that last spot could be kind of a stinker team. So I don't know. It'd be interesting to see this year, but yeah, I'm just not big, I guess, overall on the AL this year. I don't think it's incredibly strong, and I think whoever comes out of the AL East has a pretty good shot, I would say, of going to the World Series.
Yeah, we can even transition to the American League Central, because I'm in agreement with you. I think the White Sox are clear-cut favorites. They lost Carlos Rodon to the Giants, which he's been throwing like 98, so I'm pretty stoked about that. And then they traded their reliever, who I'm blanking on, for AJ Pollock. He's from Boston. Craig Kimbrel.
Oh, that's right.
Kimbrel, and they lost Carlos Rodon. But other than that, like, maybe the Twins, the Kansas City Royals have some prospects coming up. I think that'll be the easiest division win, is the White Sox winning the Central.
I have them too, but that was honestly, it was kind of a flip flop for me, because I think the Twins are going to be pretty decent, and they are one of the wild card spots that I have. Actually the second wild card spot behind the Rays. Because I like the left side of the infield with Gio Urshela and Carlos Correa. But I don't know. We'll see. I think the White Sox, like you said, their lineup is too stacked, and they've got really good pitching. So I think that they'll end up running away with it. But the Central, I think, is going to be pretty interesting in the next couple of years, because you've got, like you said, some really rising stars. What's his name? Spencer Torkelson on Detroit. Bobby Witt just came into Kansas City. Really, I think Kansas City is just missing some pitching, and they could be a really good team. So in the next couple of years, I think we're going to see a lot more competition out of the Central, but I think I'm on board with you right now. I think the White Sox are the favorites there.
Yeah, Detroit's my team, I think, is going to be competitive. Like, they got Spencer Torkelson. Riley Green's another prospect who I think could see time in the major leagues this year. They're not going to contend for anything, but I think they have a pretty good farm system, and a lot of these top prospects are getting ready to come up. So it will be a lot more interesting in a few years. I think you're right. Now, in the AL West, I actually have something I know we disagree on. I have the Mariners winning that division instead of the Astros.
Wow, that was not even a team that was on my radar for the playoffs this year.
See, the Mariners, I just one day decided I'm going to commit to thinking the Mariners are good this year and see what happens.
It did come out of nowhere towards the end of the year last year. I mean, they were right there for a playoff spot, and you're adding a playoff spot this year.
That's what I'm thinking. They, like, missed it by, like, one or two games maybe. They have some prospects, especially pitcher Brash is his name. Let's see. Matt Brash, a pitcher prospect who's coming up and be the majors. They got a couple, like, an outfielder and a infielder prospect coming up as well. Plus, the team was really good. Not, again, they weren't world beaters or anything, but they were a really good team last year. And I just don't like Houston. So that was a lot of it.
Yeah, I will join you in that. And also, like, the other thing too is that the division, I think, got weaker, and that the Astros lost their huge piece in Carlos Correa. So while they still kind of seem like the favorites maybe in Vegas, and that's who I picked as the Astros, they are, I think, a weaker team. So it definitely opens the door for a team like the Mariners. Or God, I really desperately want to see Mike Trout play in the playoffs. So selfishly, I'm hoping that they compete as well. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Has Mike Trout ever been in the playoffs?
The one time, the year Kansas City won the World Series, they beat the Angels in three games. Like, so they swept the Angels.
Okay, like in the first round or whatever.
Yeah, in like 2015 or whatever. And the Angels were actually the number one seed at that point. Then they got swept. I can't think of another time he's been in the playoffs. I think that was it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think he has either. But I really would love to see him and Otani go to the playoffs and have a little bit of a run. It'd be fun to watch.
The Angels literally have Mickey Mantle and Babe Ruth on their team and can't even get close to the playoffs. It's honestly unbelievable how, like, poorly managed the Angels are. But yeah, and Texas, even they spend the most money out of anyone, if I'm not mistaken, in free agency. I don't think they're going to be good. They'll be fine. Oakland has lower payroll than I think the Yankees in like the 40s did. Like,
they unloaded like every single player like of note that you can think of from their lineup last year, I think, is gone.
Yeah. So Oakland's not an issue. Yeah, I think I could see if Houston wins, I definitely won't be surprised. And I think they should be the favorite, but I think there's definitely a path where Seattle wins, because like bolstered up their roster. And Greinke wasn't as good as he was back in the day, but like Greinke went back to Kansas City. You mentioned Correa's gone. I actually had so I have the Astros in the wild card, and then so I have Astros, Blue Jays, Yankees. I would have put the Twins over the Yankees. That was like the last team I was thinking about in the wild card. So I think we mostly had the same playoff teams, except I had the Yankees and you had the Twins.
Yeah, and then you've got the Mariners, which I didn't think about much. But, yeah, I've got Blue Jays, White Sox, Astros, and then my wild cards are Rays, Twins, and then in my notes here I have Red Sox slash Angels. I don't know.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's like we've been talking about. I think with this extra playoff spot, you could see a team like the Mariners, Red Sox, Angels. Like, really, there's so many teams that – or like Yankees, I think, even belong in that conversation. Like, there's so many teams that could vie for that last spot.
Yeah, I'm interested because come July, like the trade deadline, maybe a team, any of these teams that we're talking about with a normal playoff situation, be like, oh, we're going to miss it. Let's trade some of our guys and be sellers. But now, or maybe even teams like the Angels, where they just have more of a shot, might try to be buyers. So I think it'll affect the trade deadline a lot, the extra wild card spot.
I agree. That's a good point.
So just while we're talking about the wild card spots, for people who haven't actually looked at how this is going to work, you know, people like me, how is that going to work with the postseason? Because like when you think about adding an extra team to the postseason, you usually do it in even numbers so everybody has a team to play. You understand what I'm asking?
Yeah, like how... I actually forgot the format. It's like... the number one seed gets a bye. I'm going to look it up. Again, great podcast content, Googling stuff. But the one seed gets a bye, and then the other, there's like a, let's see, all six division winners will earn birds. I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out and get back to you, unless Jacob knows offhand.
Yeah, I'm trying to Google it as well. I didn't really pay much attention to it once they added the extra team.
Well, just because like the baseball playoff structure was already pretty weird, I feel like. Like it wasn't straightforward. There were buys and play-ins and 5-game series and 7-game series. So
it'll be like the NFL used to be, where the 1 and 2 get a bye, 3 plays 6 and 4 plays 5, and then there's no reseeding. The number one seed plays the 4-5 winner. Number two plays the 3-6 winner, where the NFL would like reseed it.
Right.
So it's division winners, and then the number four seed's best record among non-division winners. Oh, it's just wild, just 3 best records at that point for the wild cards.
I saw, too, they're not going to have any game 163s this year. If there's a tie in a division or something like that, they'll just – there's, like, 5 different tiebreak scenarios similar to the NFL that they're going to use.
Yeah, I kind of like game 163.
I do, too. I don't do it, but it's definitely fun. But I do understand, you know, like – you have to then use your aces in game 163 just to get to a playoff spot, and then you're still in a wild card game potentially. So I can see why people aren't a fan of it.
Yeah, like, and I wasn't complaining last year, but last year the Dodgers had to use Max Scherzer in the wild card game against the Cardinals, and then like they didn't get to use him again until game 3, where it would have been Bueller and Kershaw, or Bueller, Scherzer, Kershaw, like in the first 3 games against the Giants. The Dodgers still ended up winning that series. But by the time they played the Braves in the NLCS, they were just like, white. They had to use their entire pitching staff between the last week of the season, the Cardinals wildcard game, and that 5-game series with the Giants. So, again, last year I wasn't complaining, but I get why I get why they're doing it.
Yeah. Well, I guess that feels like a good transition over to the NL now, huh?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's start with the NL. Let's just go east to west again. I think I have the Braves winning again. I think Matt Olson, in not every way, but there's a lot of aspects, he's better than Freddie Freeman. They get Ronald Acuna back. Their pitching was kind of hurt last year a lot. Like, Soroka was hurt for a lot of the year. So I'm assuming they'll be healthier. So I think it'll be a close race with them, the Mets, and also I think the Phillies can be good. But I have the Braves winning that division again.
I do too, and I completely agree with your Olson and Freeman take. Olson's younger; he's an absolute star. I think the fans in Atlanta are going to love him. So I'm not really concerned at all about them losing Freeman. sounded like too. There's some drama surrounding Freeman and Acuna, and I don't know if you saw any of that on Twitter in the last week or so, but it sounded like there was not a whole lot of love lost potentially there. So that was kind of interesting to me. But you're right, getting Acuna back in May. He's playing in AAA games right now, I believe, or simulated games. I don't remember the exact words that they use of what he's doing, but he is playing full speed games, so should be back here in the next month, you would imagine. And yeah, the defending champs are definitely primed to make another run again, but the division is tougher. If DeGrom can get/stay healthy, the Mets are a really, really good team, having Scherzer as well and a pretty stacked lineup. So I think that'll be a pretty interesting division. It might come down to who can stay healthier.
Yeah, if DeGrom's healthy, they got DeGrom, Scherzer, and then Chris Bassett, I think, is a really good pitcher also from the A's. I feel like everyone we're talking about came from Oakland as a big season addition. Yeah, I think they can be really good. And if DeGrom's healthy, he's like a no-brainer, obvious Cy Young. It's just we don't know if he's going to be healthy. I think the Phillies – I like flip-flop because last year I thought the Phillies were good. Bryce Harper won his MVP, obviously, and had a spectacular year. But half of me is thinking there's Bryce Harper's going to come down from that. He's not year-to-year consistent. Like, I think he's going to have a down year. But I also like what they did. They added Castellanos and Kyle Schwarber. Zach Wheeler and Eflin are both really good pitchers. Like, half the time I'm thinking, oh, yeah, Phillies are going to win the division, playoff team. And then another time I'm like, I kind of don't know what to think of them. Like, they might make the playoffs. I have them in as a wild card. Braves win the division, Phillies in the wild card. But they're a team that could, in my mind, either win the division or get like fourth and not even come close to the playoffs.
Yeah, I completely agree there. I have them missing the playoffs. I've got the NL West being the stronger division, so they're going to get three teams in. And then I've got the Braves and the Mets making the playoffs from the East.
Yeah, the Mets, I'm excited to see that division. And I think even Miami's going to be a better team than they've been. They're going to be better than Baltimore, at least. Still not might not be great, but better than Baltimore.
The bar is not high.
Yeah. In the Central, I have the Brewers winning. That's maybe with the AL Central, the White Sox. I don't think it'll be particularly close. I have the Cardinals getting in as a wild card, but I just think the Brewers are so good. If Christian Gellick is even like, if he like remembers how he used to play, I think they'll be maybe the best team in the National League this year.
I agree. I've got the Brewers as well, and that was actually one of my notes that I have next to the Brewers is I think Christian Gellick is going to kind of go back to, he's not going to be the MVP that he was a few years ago. I don't even remember if he won or if Cody Bellinger won, but whatever his really good season was, I think he's going to move back towards that. Last year, I think, was definitely a down year and a bit of a fluke for him. So I'm looking for him to step it up this year. And then they have a really, really solid pitching staff with multiple potential Cy Young candidates. So I've got the Brewers in the Central as well. And I'm with you there. I think that they could definitely make a pretty deep run in the playoffs as well.
Yeah, the Brewers, they're pitching, like, the starters are so good. Josh Hader, I think, is probably the best reliever in baseball. I don't think it's close. You can correct me if I'm forgetting one. I think I would take their pitching staff over anyone else in Major League Baseball.
I think I would too, yeah. Although the DeGrom-Scherzer, if they're healthy, 1-2 punch is very hard to ignore.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, yeah, especially DeGrom anyone. But yeah, adding Scherzer to that.
Yeah. But as a full staff, you're probably right. The Brewers, just top to bottom, starters, relievers, closers, just really scary group of guys.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of drama in that division. I think the Cardinals can make the playoffs, but I think there is a lot more competition in the National League. Like if we go to the West, there's the Dodgers and Giants. The Padres are hypothetically good. Last year they kind of flamed out, but they hypothetically could be good. Unfortunately, I think the Dodgers are going to win the division, and then I have the Giants in as a wild card.
Yeah, Jake, I would have to take up a problem with you if you took anybody but the Dodgers. This lineup is arguably one of the best in the history of baseball, top to bottom. Like, there's not a single guy in there that I'm like, he's average. You know, like, this team is absolutely stacked. They added Freeman. They still have solid pitching. I wouldn't say that they are anywhere near like the Brewers like we talked about, but they still have plenty solid pitching to back up what their offense is going to be able to do all year. Honestly, the Dodgers kind of remind me of how the Chiefs were most of last year, and that the like plan with the defense, at least from the pitching aspect, is just like, we trust Pat Mahomes, you know, like put up as many points as possible, put up as many runs as you can, and we'll figure it out on the pitching side.
Yeah, their lineup, like just looking at their infield, you could argue Freeman is the worst player because you got Max Muncy, who is very underrated regular second baseman. Trey Turner bats over 300. He's not going to hit as many home runs as Freeman. And then Justin Turner is as a clutch guy as there is in baseball. And I'm not saying Freeman is the worst, but I'm saying like that's it's insane that there's a conversation. And then they have Mookie Betts in the outfield, who I think is probably at least the top five player. I'd put him second behind Mike Trout as far as position players. And then speaking of Christian Yelich forgetting how to play, Cody Bellinger, it looked like the Monstar stole his talent. Like he just completely forgot how to swing a bat.
Yeah. And that's similar to my Christian Yelich comment. I think he will kind of have a better year this year as well. But yeah, those two, it was so weird. They both, what did they hit? Like almost like over 40 home runs, I want to say, a couple years ago. Was it 2019, the year before the COVID year? They both just were going shot for shot on home runs, both neck and neck in the MVP race. And then just, you like almost never heard their name the last couple years.
It's honestly unreal. And it's crazy. Like the Dodgers, even with an MVP batting like 170, it's a historically great lineup. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch for sure. Not really from the fan perspective of where you are being a Giants fan, but yeah. As a fan of the sport, they will be a fun team to see.
Yeah, not fun for me. The Giants last year, they won 107 games, eked out the Dodgers. I think they went under 100, but I do think they get in the playoffs relatively comfortably. They replaced Kevin Gausman, who went to the Blue Jays, with Carlos Rodon on a two-year deal. Really, a lot of their moves were minor league guys. Like, Keylor Ramos is going to come up and be a relatively consistent outfielder. Buster Posey retired, and Joey Bart, the catcher prospect, who was the number two pick a few years ago, he's come in. He's hit a few home runs already this season. Like, the only real loss was Buster Posey and Kevin Gausman, and they replaced him with good guys. They have a lot of minor league depth. And it's just going to be a depth thing. They added Jock Peterson. Like, there's not nearly as much talent as the Dodgers, but they're so deep at so many positions. Their bullpen last year had a ERA under 3, and they didn't lose any of those guys. So I'm not worried about the Giants making the playoffs, but I also think it'd be unrealistic to talk about a division win for them.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I've got them rounding out my wild card. I've got Mets, Padres, and Giants making the playoffs as non-division winners. But dissimilar to the AL, there are a lot of really solid teams, I think, in the NL that could go for those spots. And like you said, the Padres were, I think they were like a top three World Series favorite last year going into the season, and then just totally lost it midseason. I've got them having a pretty solid year and getting into the playoffs. So, I don't know. Like you said, the Phillies are an interesting team in there. The Cardinals are an interesting team. There's a lot of like really decent NL teams that I think can get a wild card spot, unlike the AL, where you might see that last wild card spot have a close to 500 or even losing record. I think the NL teams are going to be really solid in the playoffs, which will be fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm excited about the race. Yeah, because Cardinals, Phillies, Mets. Well, the Mets could even win the division, but Padres, Giants, Cardinals, there's so many teams that could challenge for those last wildcard spots. So especially in the National League, the trade deadline is going to be interesting. Fernando Tatis Jr. is coming back like in, I think, May, like very soon for the Padres, and they're going to be pretty good. We don't have to go round by round of the playoffs, but I got my World Series pick. Do you want me to say
yeah,
that?
Go for it. Who are your – let's do AL and NLCSs so I can see who your final four is, and then who's your World Series and winner.
So I got Rays, White Sox in the AL, and then Brewers and Dodgers in the National League.
Nice. I've got Blue Jays, White Sox, and then I have Dodgers, Braves.
Okay. interesting. Yeah, I flip again. Honestly, in my head, the Blue Jays and Rays in a lot of ways are interchangeable. Like, I think whoever wins that division is going to be in a good spot just with home field through the playoff. And yeah, Braves, Brewers, same thing. I think they're very competitive. I think a non-wild card winner is going to have a tougher spot just with all the road series they're going to have to win. So if what you said happens, wouldn't surprise me at all. I have the Dodgers and the Rays in the World Series in the Freddie Freeman Bowl. But that's – no, because he played for the Braves, so that was wrong. But why did I write that? Oh, Friedman, Andrew Friedman, not Freddie Friedman. I'm an idiot. The executive. Because in my notes I have Friedman. I was like, Freddie Freeman doesn't play for the Rays. Andrew Friedman is who I meant, the Andrew Friedman Bowl. And I actually have the Rays beating the Dodgers just because I can't pick them to win the World Series.
Yeah, I understand that. I have the Dodgers beating the Blue Jays, so I just don't see who can beat the Dodgers in a game of, or a seven series or seven game series. So I don't know.
I think the only way the Dodgers lose is with like some injuries, like because their pitching staff isn't so deep. If either Bueller, like especially if Walker Bueller gets hurt, Kershaw's not like their ace anymore. But if he doesn't have a good year, Bueller struggles a little bit. That's the only way I see the Dodgers losing is just like bad injury luck.
Yeah. Well, the other thing we didn't mention about with the Dodgers is what's his name? The guy that the pitcher they just got last year that's been out for the legal issues that it seems like everything's being dropped. Why am I Trevor Bauer?
Yeah.
It seems like all of those charges are being dropped. They just extended his leave, like I think to the end of this month, but he could very well be back soon too.
Yeah, I didn't even think about him, but if he's back, because he's not like a Cy Young candidate, but he's like a number one or number two starter on most teams. So,
wasn't he the Cy Young 2 years ago?
Was he?
When he was on the Reds, didn't he win or come very close to winning the Cy Young?
I thought he did in like 2019. Let's see, Trevor Bauer, Cy Young. Like, he's very good. Yeah, he did win it in 2021? No way. 2020? What year did he win it?
Well, he couldn't have won it last year because he didn't play. Yeah, and that
I think he won it for the 2020 series with the Reds. Year.
That's right. Yeah, and then he got that monster contract with the Dodgers, and then I don't even know. He might have started had one start last year before all the legal trouble surfaced.
Yeah, Trevor Bauer wins 2020 Cy Young. So the Dodgers could have a Cy Young winner coming back. We didn't even factor into this.
Which would definitely hedge the injury potential. But not to ruin your day or make your rival team look any better, Jake.
Yeah, you know, I've honestly just accepted it that it is what it is. Just it's a bummer, but you never know what can happen. That's the nice thing about baseball. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, there you go.
Nope. So either way, we think the AL East is going to be competitive. National League's better than the American League. The Dodgers are unfortunately going to be pretty good. And the Angels, it'd be nice if they could figure it out. But
yeah, I think baseball fans in general, like as fans of the sport, can all agree that we would love to see Ohtani and Trout have a decent playoff run. I hope it's not against my team if it comes to that. But if the Yankees don't make the playoffs and the Angels did, I would honestly root for the Angels to go all the way.
We've always liked the Angels because we grew up in Salt Lake, obviously, and that's where we are now. The A's Triple A or the Angels Triple A team is in Salt Lake City. The Dump Bees.
The Dump Bees. I remember the Dump Bees. You still have to get me a jersey.
Yeah. I'll try to bring that out when I'm in Florida.
I totally forgot about the Dump Bees. I'm cracking up over that.
Yeah. So you can get a Mike Trout Salt Lake Bees jersey if you want. He was only there for like, I don't know, less than a year because he got called up so quick. But
it's like my Johnny Manziel Padres jersey.
That is a cool jersey. You have a lot of Johnny Manziel jerseys.
I do have three of them, yeah.
Oh, man. Well, appreciate you coming on. Again, Jacob Caldwell's our baseball guy. I love talking baseball. I'm excited baseball's happening again. Appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah, guys, appreciate it a lot. Hey, real quick before I go, I wanted to get both of your NBA champions. Who do you guys have?
I think we both picked the Suns.
Yeah, I think we did too. I think we both had Bucks and Suns and picked the Suns.
Nice. That seems to be a trend I'm seeing across like all the analysts, is they think we're going to get a rematch of last year's finals.
Yeah. Well, it's just I don't know what you think, but for me, I just don't think there's anybody in the West that's as good, although with Steph Curry coming back yesterday, that changed my thinking a little bit. And then in the East, nobody really excites me either besides the Bucks. So I just – it's almost just for lack of anybody else to pick.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I would love to see the Suns. I'm kind of a makeshift Suns fan since I didn't grow up around an NBA team and then living near them the last few years. I'm a huge Devin Booker fan. Love to see the guy succeed. So I'm really pumped about the playoffs.
Yeah, I appreciate the Suns because when we lived there, they were so – at least when I lived there, they were so bad, so the tickets were so cheap. So I went all the time. So,
yeah. It used to – that stadium used to be a total dump, and they – I don't know when the last time you went to a game was there, but they have, like, totally redone the inside, and it was – it's such a nice stadium now. So you'll have to get back down there when you go watch the Giants play spring training next year.
Yeah, the last time I went, I remember it was in November of 2019, so it's been a few years. I've checked it out.
Definitely.
Check it out. Yeah, it's funny. Like, literally right before this, that's what we were talking about, was the NBA playoffs and our playoff predictions. And I'm like, how can I not remember who I just picked? Like, we just talked about it.
Sorry to put you guys on the spot there. That was not planned.
No, you're good. But, yeah, so I think we're all picking Phoenix. And I think it'd be fun to see a rematch.
Yeah, I do too. I like watching Giannis as much as he completely tormented me last year. He's an absolute beast, so it'd be fun to see. And those are just two, I don't know, I like those two cities playing in a finals too. It's fun. It's not like a LA, New York, even though I'm a New York baseball fan. I like to see, it was fun to see the Bucks fans get really excited for their win last year.
Yeah, one of our best friends down there is from Wisconsin, so I don't think she's a diehard Bucks fan, but I'm sure she got into it pretty hard.
She'll get into anything as long as there's beer involved. Shout out to Jess.
She's the best. No, appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks, guys. It's always fun to talk to you guys about baseball. I'm excited for the season.
All right, thanks, everybody, so much for listening. Thanks for Jacob for coming on. NBA playoff right now. We're watching the Celtics game. Appreciate everybody listening. Had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was great. You guys are lucky I'm not making you talk about the Boston Marathon happening tomorrow, but I'll be up ready to go 7 a.m.
I forgot that's tomorrow.
It is.
Yeah, so Matt on the phone with Boston Marathon. Appreciate everybody listening. Again, feel free to subscribe, rate, and review 5 stars only. And we'll talk to you guys next time.